First Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim records for us the mitzvah b'tikas chametz. Ola abos abokin is the chametz lo haner. So the Gemara is very quick to point out in Maseches Pesachim and Avdal Mabei is that the mitzvah b'tikas chametz is not a mitzvah min haTorah. Min haTorah, there's really no need to do b'tikas chametz. Min haTorah, there's a much easier way to avoid any problems with chametz, and that's simply what's called midaraisim bittul b'yal masagi. Just by simply being mevatel the chametz, by declaring that the chametz, according to most Rishonim, you don't even actually have to verbally declare it, just by thinking that the chametz is batel, ka'afra di'ara, you just, in your mind, or in your worst case scenario, in your words, you declare that the chametz is considered to be meaningless and worthless to you, that's good enough, you've solved the world's problems. But the rice of bittul b'yal masagi. Which problems exactly have you solved? So there's machlokes to Rishonim, which problems you solved. So according to Rashi's opinion, you've actually fulfilled a mitzvah of tashbisu. That's exactly what the Torah wants you to do. And the Torah says, so Rashi interprets that to mean bittul, tashbisu means batala, supposed to be mevatel the chometz. That's what the Torah expects you to do. And Tosis has a different understanding of the Gemara. Tosis understood the Gemara to mean that midaraisa bittul b'yal masagi doesn't mean that you actually fulfilled any things, rather it means you circumvented a problem. There was a problem of owning chometz on Pesach, by Rav Eimatzei. So that those Yisurim are only violated if you actually own the chametz. Once you're mevatel the chametz, that's tantamount to saying that the chametz is hefker. Once the chametz is hefker, is ownerless, then it's no longer problem by Rav Eimatzei. So bein the Rashi, bein the Tosfos, min haTorah, you've solved all of your issues. According to Rashi, you've solved it in a positive manner. According to Tosfos, you've solved it almost in a negative manner. But bottom line is, bein the Rashi, bein the Tosfos, min haTorah, there's nothing to worry about. But midirabanan chazal misakin b'dikas chametz. So it's not clear for the Gemara why chazal misakin b'dikas chametz. What were they concerned with? What was wrong with doing what the Torah itself says? So Tosfos and the Beizim and Aleph in Maseches Pesachim explains that the concern midirabanan was gezeira shemayav liyochla. We're afraid that the person may come to eat the chametz, because even though min haTorah declared the chametz to be batel, the person walks into his house on Pesach, there are pizzas in his freezer, there are schnapps on his table, he's got crackers, he's got cookies, he's got cereals in the closet. There's a good chance he may forget that it's Pesach, may come to eat the chametz. So therefore, midirabanan, they made a takana that you have to physically destroy the chametz. It's not enough just to be mevatle, you have to physically destroy it. How are you going to physically destroy it if you don't know where it is? So the answer is you have to first find it. So that's exactly what the takana was, v'dika / bior, and that's what the Mishnah is telling us in the Beizim Sachem, or la bosa b'ikir to chametz to haner. That is the fulfillment of this mitzvah mit derabbanan of b'dikas chametz. And according to Tosfos, the reason for this takana was gezeira shemayav liyochla. We're afraid lest you come to eat the chametz. Tosfos gets into a technical, nitty gritty question: why Chazal made the takana only by chametz? Why didn't Chazal make this takana by other isurim? Let's say a person moves into a non-Jew's house in the middle of the year. So we don't find that he's mechuyif to get on his hands and knees, go under the bed, and start looking for all the cheeseburgers, or the chazer, or the nevels and treifas. There's no such din. Why not? So Tosfos explains, because chametz is, first of all, to the sukkaris, so it's the stakes are much higher, and number two, it's what's called lo bedilim minei, that since a person eats chametz all year long, when it comes Pesach, there's a much greater chance that he's going to make a mistake. He may end up messing up, may end up eating chametz. So Chazal were very, very concerned with chametz above and beyond other isurim, and therefore they formulated a special tachanas chametz called bedikas chametz. But again, it's all midirabanan. Min haTorah, there's nothing to worry about. L'chor, if you would follow this logic of Tosfos, it should come out that what if you have a situation where there's nothing to worry about? It's so unlikely, it's almost impossible. I'm never going to eat the chametz. Why will I never eat the chametz? Because I'm not even going to be home for Pesach. So let's say a person is leaving his house for Pesach, locking up a week before Pesach. He's not going to be home. He has tickets to come home 3 days after Pesach. So what are you afraid of? What's the gzeir shavar v'liyachlo? So mistama for such a person, we should say, be mevatel the chametz, and you've solved all your problems min haTorah. According to Rashi, you fulfilled tashbisu. According to Tosfos, you're circumvented by Rav Eimatzei. What more is there to do? Why should we be concerned, Shema Yovel Yochlo, if you're 1,000 miles away from where the chametz is? So that's what the Gemara Maseches Pesachim says, that although in theory that should be true, but Chazal did not make the takana that way. Chazal formulated the takana in the following way, that if a person leaves his home more than 30 days before Pesach, a guy leaves in January, and he's not planning on coming back till the middle of July, so then in a chanami, then there's no reason to be digging chametz. Min haTorah, do bittul, and every Pesach can finish, and call it a day. And you don't have to bother checking your house. But if you're leaving your house within 30 days before Pesach, so then there's a new halacha called that the mitzvah sayom amutalas alav. that the halacha now requires of you within 30 days of Pesach to be involved in the mitzvah sayom, and even though the particular reason for this takana doesn't apply to you, doesn't apply to your house because you're not going to be there, it doesn't matter, kach tiknu chachavim, that once the shloshim yom already chal on you, so then you're mechuyav, then you're obligated to begin to do the mitzvah, even though the mitzvah really doesn't make any sense to you. So if you left your house more than 30 days, so then the mitzvah was never chal on you in the first place, so then you don't have to do it. But if you left within 30 days, once the mitzvah is chal on you again, even though the rationale doesn't really apply to you, one would be obligated to perform the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz. If you follow this line of reasoning in the Gemara, what should come out is, let's say a person leaves the house 3 days after Purim, even though they know for a fact they're not coming back till after Shavuos, they should be required to perform Bedikas Chametz with a bracha. They should have to make a bracha also. If they're performing a mitzvah in the Rabban or Bedikas Chametz, why shouldn't they recite a bracha? So that's what many Rishonim say. That's what the Ritva quotes in Maseches Pesachim. They don't know that a person who leaves within 30 days has to recite a bracha. But the Ramah in Uchus Pesach quotes a custom that we, at least in the Ashkenazi community, I don't know what the Sephardim minig is, but the Ashkenazi community, so our practice is not this way. Our practice is that if a person is doing Bedikas Chametz before the Leil Yedaled, before, let's say, next week, before Thursday night, even though he's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing, he's fulfilling the Dasu Chedin, the mitzvah de Rabban of Bedikas Chametz, since it's not being done on Leil Yedaled, therefore a bracha is not recited. Why is that? What's the svar behind that? So there are some who suggest that a bracha is not recited because this is an abnormal way of doing a mitzvah. Brachas are generally recited when you do a mitzvah in a normal tzur, doing a mitzvah in a normal fashion. You do a mitzvah in a strange way, even though technically speaking you are obligated and you are fulfilling the mitzvah, but Chazal would never misaken brachas for strange, bizarre manifestations of a mitzvah. So I want to give a mashal the Madav Adomah that the Rishonim have a question. When we say Kriya Shema every morning and every night, so how come we don't make a bracha asher kiddishanu mitzvah yisivan alikros ha-shema? We should say a bracha before the mitzvah kriya shema. So one of the answers that's given is that we do recite a bracha. The bracha is called Habayich Yom Yisrael Bi'ava, Oy V'Am Yisrael. So the bracha that we recite before the kriya shema doubles almost like the quasi birchas mitzvah. Even though it doesn't have the normal text of birchas mitzvah, it's in a sense a birchas mitzvah. The Rishonim quote in the beginning of Maseches Brachas in the name of Amram Gaon that let's say a person is saying Shema without the Brachas. Let's say a person daven Ma'ariv early and now they're saying Shema after the right Zman. So they're performing the mitzvah in a Torah of Kriya Shema without the Seder Brachas. So Amram Gaon said, you should make a Bracha. Because if you're saying Kriya Shema, I'll say that Brachas, like Lechatchil is supposed to daven Ma'ariv, say that Brachas. So if you're saying daven Ma'ariv, you have to taste Kichavim and you're fulfilling the Brachas Kriya Shema, so the Brachas Kriya Shema serving as the Brachas HaMitzvah. And for the one strange guy who davened in Ma'ariv early, it was like out of the ordinary, the Rambam Gaon says, for one strange guy who's davening Ma'ariv early, so for him, he should talk and recite the bracha when he says Kriya Shema Bizman. And our practice is not that way. Even if we do daven Ma'ariv early, when we get home later on, before we go to sleep, we say the Kriya Shema again, we don't recite the bracha. Why not? So maybe it's the same reason that, since this is not the normal fashion of doing the mitzvah. When Chazal Masach and Mitzvahs, they instituted the normal way of doing mitzvahs, and then they built into the system that for the strange people, so you do a mitzvah in a little bit of a strange way, you don't get a bracha for that. So the Chazal couldn't fathom a guy's going to daven Ma'ariv before the Zman, he's going to have to say Kriya Shema again, it's unthinkable. So for that one crazy case, you're not going to make a new bracha. But Chazal couldn't fathom a guy's going to wait for Pesach. What's he going to wait for Pesach for? He says, the Torah says you have to be celibate, celibate. So who's going to wait for Pesach? So the answer is that Enochinami is taka out of the ordinary, and therefore when Chazal instituted Bedikas Chometz for the person who's going away, they instituted it without a bracha. So maybe that's the same type of an idea. So that wasn't meant as a shtach who were going away from Pesach, just the description of what the sugya is according to the way some of the Pesachim say. So back to our story. So the din is that you're obligated to do.
Wasn't it the norm
in the times of Eliel HaRegel? Right. Yeah, so the times of Chazal, maybe not as normal. By the days of the Rishonim, it was very, very normal. The days of the Baalei Tosfos, it was very, very normal. Yeah, so the Gemara, it's not clear. The Gemara says that on Erev Shabbos, so Rav used to be Tzal Shal Shabbos Erev Shabbos. On Erev Shabbos, Rav used to daven early, whereas on a regular weeknight, so you don't get the impression that it was the norm to daven early. Even on Friday night, the Gemara says that Rav Huna V'Kul Rabban used to daven late, so there were different minhagim on Friday night, being early. Some people like the early Shabbos, some people like the late Shabbos. But during the week, you don't know what the minhag is. I remember I was once in Berlin, it was the end of June, very, very late Zmanim. I was with Rabbi Shechter, we were there together giving shiurim, and we were waiting for Tzeis Kechavim. It was ridiculous. I think they started Mincha at 9:30, but it was ridiculous. It was late and late and late and late. And it was never getting dark. So Rav Shechter turned around to me and he said he finally understood why the Rishonim used to daven Maariv early. He said, it never gets dark in this part of the world. So the Rishonim and Baal HaTos lived in that part of the world. So the Tacha never got dark. Anyway, so a person performs a mitzvah b'dikas chametz with or without a bracha. So he performs it on Leil Yudal, he performs it with a bracha. And before Leil Yudal, that minhag is without a bracha. It's for this reason that L'chor, it doesn't make any sense if a person wants to put out bread in order to find. So that minhag only makes sense when you're making a bracha, if you're doing it on Leil Yudal. The whole reason for that minhag is the Ramah quotes one opinion that says that maybe if you do b'dikas chametz and you don't find anything, maybe it's a shav of bracha l'batala. So the Ramah says we don't really follow that view. It doesn't really make any sense because the mitzvah is ol abosa b'ikiras chametz. It doesn't say ol abosa motzeres chametz. The takana was to do b'dika. But you find, great. You don't find, it's also good. You yet to the mitzvah. So the Ramah writes that me'ikra din, there's no need to put out bread ever. But there's a minhag Yisrael to put out bread, and the minhag was started in deference to that one sheet in Rishonim that you have to actually find something. So l'chora, that minhag only makes sense for the person who is going to be reciting a bracha. If you're not making a bracha anyway, so what are you putting out bread for? You're accomplishing nothing. So you're putting out bread, collecting the bread, and doing nothing. You don't gain anything by putting out bread if you're doing the b'dika before Leil Yudal. And sometimes we even lose things. I've had people have called me with strange shilas. The guy's going away, he's on a plane, all of a sudden he realizes the plane's running late, and now he's about to take off, and he realizes by the time he lands, it's going to be after the Zman HaIsser, it's going to be too late to do bitul chametz. How does he get rid of the chametz on the plane? What does he want from me? He can't light a fire in the plane. He can't flush them in the toilet. He's going to stuff up the whole plumbing of the plane. What's he going to do? It's a big pickle. So I tell people the last thing you should do is take little 10 pieces of bread with you on the plane in our case. So that's the most ridiculous thing to do. So either if you're doing b'dikas chametz and leil yudal, so you do it, put out 10 pieces of bread and then you burn them right away. So you don't wait until the next morning. And if you're not doing b'dikas chametz and leil yudal, so you didn't put out the piece of bread in the first place. But to end up stuck in our Pesach at 11 o'clock in the morning with a piece of bread and scratching head and figure out how to get disposed of that bread, the fire is all the ruach is not an option. Hopefully the plane will not let you enable you to do that. So it's a good idea to avoid that shot in the first place. Sometimes you have a situation where a person is, what the Gemara calls a mefarsh, yotze b'shiyara, a person is going on a boat trip, he's going on a caravan, he's leaving his house for on Erev Pesach, or before Erev Pesach, and he doesn't want to be bothered with b'dikas chametz. The halach is he's supposed to do b'dikas chametz, but he doesn't want to. B'dikas chametz takes a long time. If a person does a very, very quick, superficial b'dikas chametz, walks around, collects bread, okay, it doesn't take very long, but that's probably not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is not that's collecting the bread. The mitzvah is to do a bona fide b'dikas chametz. So the person says, listen, I'm going away for Yom Tov. The last thing I want to do is go spend 5 hours checking my house right now. I'm not going to be here anyway. So the reason of the takana doesn't even apply to me, because Eri Shem Yerulechel doesn't speak to me. But what do you do? He's stuck. He's mechuyav to do b'dikas chametz because the Gemara says if you leave within 30 days, you have to do b'dikas chametz. So is there any eitzah for such a person? Is there any way for a person to potentially circumvent the obligation of b'dikas chametz in the first place if he's going away for Yom Tov? So there was a big machlekes in the later poskim about the following shaila. The reason why this shaila didn't make it into the earlier poskim is because the background of the shaila didn't exist in the days of the Rishonim, and that's the institution of Mechiras Chametz. Mechiras Chametz is a very, very new invention in halacha. When I say new, I mean the last 400-500 years or so. That's relatively speaking new in halacha. Mechiras Chametz didn't exist in the olden days for a very simple reason. It was totally unnecessary. What in the world am I going to sell? Most people didn't have all that much food to begin with. So you had a piece of bread. There were no preservatives. Food didn't stay for very long. So whatever you had left, you ate. Whatever you didn't have left. So it's not going to last till after Pesach anyway. So you discard it. And it's a matter of months and finished. And just burn it, get rid of it, and gemaru. But then in later years, so the Jews started to get into the food business, and particularly into the schnapps business. So now you had people who had thousands and thousands of dollars worth of chametz, and if you're going to tell them to do what they've been doing for the last 3,000 years, just taking it all and just burning it, it's going to be a tremendous hefsed mamon. So what could we do? So the later poskim, the early acharonim, came up with the following eitzah, that we could do a mechiras chametz. What's mechiras chametz based on? It's based on a very, very simple calculation. The Torah says, lo yirol decho chametz. And the Gemara says that l'cha means to teach us that if it's Jews' chametz, you're not allowed to have chametz. But if it's not my chametz, it's the non-Jews' chametz. That's perfectly okay. So min haTorah, there's nothing wrong with having the goy's chametz in my rishus on Pesach. Midir Rabbanan, I shouldn't leave it around. I should put up a mechitza 10 tvachim. I have to put up some kind of a barrier. I have to lock it in a closet, put it away somewhere, that I don't come to eat it. But min haTorah, I don't have to do anything. And midir Rabbanan, I did that already. So everything's great. Everything's wonderful. So in the later years, the last 400-500 years, so Bechir's chametz became very, very popular. It's a very, very complicated institution, Mechiras Chametz, because the mechanism of how to transfer ownership on items to a non-Jew is a very, very complicated halachic issue. So there's a lot of discussion in the poskim about how to go about doing mechiras chametz. But at the end of the day, this has become a fairly accepted practice. Pretty much everyone does, to some degree, some form of mechiras chametz. So the poskim had the following shaila. What would the din be in the following scenario? Let's say I want to do mechiras chametz. I'm going to take all my chametz. I'm going to stick into a closet. And not only am I going to stick the chametz into the closet and sell the chametz, but I'm going to get rid of the closet also. I'm going to rent out the rights to the non-Jew. I'm going to sell the rights. I'm going to sell the closet to the non-Jew. I don't want to have anything to do with this chametz. I don't want to have anything to do with this whole area where the chametz is sitting on during Pesach. Why would I want to rent out the closet to the non-Jew? What do I gain by that? So I may gain a few things by that. One of the technicalities we mentioned before is that the very institution of how to transfer ownership on movable objects to non-Jews is very, very complex. And one of the solutions to the problem may be by selling the land, selling or renting out the area, the geographic location where the chametz is actually placed. If you give that area to the non-Jew, and then either what's called the kitchen chotzer, any movable object that's in his chotzer, in his courtyard, technically can belong to him, or through a kitchen agav, when I sell movables at the same time that I'm selling real property. So maybe those kinyana may help us transfer ownership properly. So there's probably some good reasons why I'd like to walk away from this closet. Well, let's say if I put all my chametz in my basement, well, I don't want to go into this basement anymore for Pesach. So I'm going to transfer everything over to the non-Jew. The chametz is going to be owned by the non-Jew, and the karka, the land, the chotzer, everything's going to belong to the non-Jew. Everything's wonderful. So now, I come the night of Orla Basa Baikis Chametz, I'm about to start doing B'dikis Chametz. I'm going to be home for Pesach. So I start looking in my kitchen, I look around, spend an hour, don't find a chametz. I look around the living room, I find the Cheerio under the couch. I walk around over here, I found a Trolley Chip Cookies that's been sitting here since probably 16 Pesachs ago. So good, so Baruch Hashem, I find all my chametz. And now I come to the closet. So I'm about to do B'dikis Chametz in the closet. So I'm starting to think to myself, well, this is going to be the most ridiculous B'dikis Chametz in the world. I'm going to walk into the closet, I'm going to see, by God, look what I got here. I got bottles of schnapps, and I got boxes of cookies, and I got boxes of pastas, and I got cereal. Well, I just found a gold mine. And then I start to think, wait a second, what? But I'm selling all this chametz by tomorrow morning. I already rented a rabbi this morning. I'm selling the chametz by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. So what am I doing this chametz for? So, oh no, I'm going to start walking around and looking in the rest of the closet. So I'm going to close my eyes, you know, when I see all the chametz, because, I know I'm not going to get rid of that chametz anyway. I'm going to look around for all those crumbs in between. But the whole area belongs to the guy anyway. What am I doing? Who am I kidding? What kind of dikas chametz is that? It's mamash a farce. So somach run him right there. You're right. It's not a joke. There's no such dikas chametz. How can you do possibly, logically, do dikas chametz on a room that is not going to belong to you on Pesach? It defeats the whole purpose. Well, obviously, there would be no dikas chametz. So
you're still in point A in the formula that you say after the dikas. You say anything that I don't, that I'm not aware of. So you realize, I mean, even the, not the closet, I mean, what you're going to eat for breakfast the next day, you also have to leave it there because it's...
No, I'm not doing B'dikas Chametz on that. That's what the Mishnah says, that any food you want to leave over for tomorrow, that's fine. You have to put it away in a safe place that does get moved around, but that's fine. But here, I'm not eating this pizza. I left the pizza, I have a freezer in my basement, and I locked up the whole basement. And I know that there's a pizza in the freezer. So what am I going to do? I'm going to open up the freezer with my candle and my feather, and I'm going to look, oh, by golly, I found the pizza. And then what? What am I going to do with it? I'm going to leave it there. So what kind of B'dikas Chametz? The whole thing is a joke. So how is that a B'dikas Chametz?
Isn't what we have? You're going away for
yonder,
selling the whole house.
Oh,
wait, that's what we're getting to.
Don't say bracha.
You don't put the bread out. What do you do?
Wait, hold on. We're building up to that. So I'm still talking about the fellow who's going to be home for Pesach, and he's doing a B'dikas Chametz on Leil Yadal. He's doing a real McCoy. He's doing a phenomenal. He's spending 5 hours doing B'dikas Chametz, but then he gets to that room that's going to belong to Mr. Brown, and he's scratching his head. What am I supposed to do in that room? How can I do B'dikas Chametz there? So some achrayim say, you're right. Don't do anything. Just leave the room. Don't even go into the room. What are you wasting time going into the room? Go upstairs to help your wife start cooking for the Seder. What are you going to the room for? Anyway, that room's not going to belong to you tomorrow. That's what some achrayim write. And other achrayim right now, that doesn't work. You know why? Because the halacha is determined by what the status is right now. Right now, on Thursday night, at 10 o'clock, when I'm on my hands and knees checking for chametz, I go to that room. Who does that room belong to? Right now, that room belongs to me. Who owns that chametz? Right now, the chametz belongs to me. So when I have property that I own that has my chametz in it, or la bosa, I'm making it a chametz. So I have to get on my hands and knees and look throughout that room for chametz. And what am I going to do when I find it, which I inevitably are going to do? Nothing. I'm still not going to burn it because it's no worse than the chametz I'm going to eat for breakfast tomorrow. So when, let's say when I walk around my house and I find the box of Cheerios that I left for tomorrow morning's breakfast, I'm not going to burn that either. That's what the Mishnah says. You're allowed to eat it for tomorrow. So what's the difference whether I'm saving chametz to eat tomorrow, I'm saving chametz to feed my dogs tomorrow, saving the chametz to sell to the non-Jew tomorrow. So I'm not going to get rid of that chametz anyway. So what did I do? I went in there and I did a bedikas chametz. What am I looking for? But I did a bedikas chametz. That's what many acharonim write. So that's a major machlokes. The Mishnah Berurah quotes two opinions about this in the Siman about bedikas chametz. What is the status in such a situation where the room right now belongs to me, but in a few hours from now, it's not going to belong to me anymore? Do I have to do anything? I can just lock it up and just ignore it. So that's two opinions in acharonim. Then the Mishnah Berurah throws out one line.
What are the two opinions?
I mean, who they are.
Even the chametz are anywhere.
Right, that's the problem. The problem is even the one opinion would say that you have to go in there and start looking around
but you see it.
Nothing. Right, you're right. The other opinion says don't do anything. The other opinion, don't even open up the door. The other opinion says, it's not my house. Right now it's my house. It's not going to be my house by tomorrow morning. It's not my problem. So I do zero. I do absolutely nothing.
Not go in there. Or go in there and not do anything.
Right, that's right. That's right. It's a strange machlokes. Right, very strange machlokes. Selling is not the other bill. Selling is the circumvention of the bill. Let's hang on for a second and see what other options are available. So the Mishnah Berurah throws out one line. He quotes his machlokes and he doesn't really take a side on which opinion he thinks is more correct. But then he throws out one half line, which again the Chofetz Chaim had whatever Ruach HaKodesh. I don't know what the Chofetz Chaim realized when he was writing this one line in Radin. You know, Chofetz Chaim sitting in 1900 in Radin realized that this one line was going to be picked up upon by Rabbanim in New York 100 years later, and this would become a whole new industry, a whole new dimension of Mechiras Chametz that nobody ever heard of until 20 years ago. So the Chofetz Chaim, been discussing back and forth this machlokes, has the following line. He says, if you think about it, the only reason why some poskim didn't like this kunz of not doing B'dikas Chametz and a room that's going to be sold tomorrow is because right now it still belongs to you. That was the problem. That right now, B'Asheu Sham, right now, the Chametz is yours and the room is yours. Says the Mishnah Berurah, what if a person could pull off the following chap? He'll do Mechiras Chametz on this room, not tomorrow morning like everybody else does, but he'll do Mechiras Chametz today, i.e. on Yom Yud Gimel, before Orel HaBos HaBagdas Chometz kicks in. Now, when I say doing Mechiras Chometz, I don't mean you going to the rabbi. You going to the rabbi is meaningless. That's when you appoint him to do the Mechira. When I say doing Mechira, that means the rabbi is going to go to the non-Jew on your behalf and do a Mechiras Chometz on Yud Gimel Nisan. So nobody ever thought of such a thing for hundreds of years. Whoever heard of or dreamt of doing Mechiras Chometz on Yud Gimel? Nobody. In Europe, nobody did Mechiras Chometz on Yud Gimel. It was done Yud Dalet in the morning, 10, 11 o'clock in the morning. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, in this case, for the guy who wants to get himself out of not doing B'dikas Chometz on the room that's going to be sold, if you sell the room, you rent out the room, and you get rid of all the Chometz before the Chiyuv of Leil Yadala kicks in, so that would make much more sense than the other Chorim are probably right. And the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say absolutely convincing. He says that would make a lot of sense. That would be much more mistav, that would be much more logical, that the whole concern to insist on doing B'dikas Chometz on a room that you're not going to own anyway is because right now it's yours, but if it's not even yours now, because you did the Mechira an hour ago, so that would be okay, maybe even according to all opinions. That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. So that one line became very, very popular in the last, I'd say, maybe between the last 30 years or so, give or take, about 30 years. When I was a kid, no one ever heard of such a thing. It's already been around for a couple of decades. What does this one line accomplish? A person is going away for Pesach, and he really is not interested in doing B'dikas Chometz before he leaves. He's got a flight a couple of hours from now. The last thing he wants to do is get on his hands and knees and do the entire B'dikas Chometz. But the din is he has to, if it's within, unless he left before Purim. So he's leaving within 30 days. He's mechuyim d'rabbanan, albeit without a bracha, but he's mechuyim d'rabbanan to do a b'dikas chametz. But maybe he can circumvent that obligation. How does he do that? Very simple. Not only does he sell his chametz, but he sells all the areas where the chametz is. Where are all the areas where the chametz is? His entire house. Now, for a guy who's going to be home on Pesach, you can't do that. You can't sell your whole house to the non-Jew and then have chametz all over the place and sit and enjoy your Seder with the schnapps sitting on your counter. That's out of the question. But if a guy's not going to be home anyway, and no one's using the house anyway, It's not that a lot of people make this mistake. They don't do a bedikas chametz. They pull off the stunt, and then they have a cousin staying in the house in Chol HaMoed. So the cousin walks in Chol HaMoed, and there's chametz all over the place. So that's for sure no good. So a person is closing up the house. No one's going to use the house for the entire week. So what he's basically done is he's turned his entire apartment into one big room. The same way that some of the chachamim write that when you have a room that's miyuchad for the chametz and it's being rented out to the goy for the whole week of Pesach, there's no chavos bedikas chametz. So according to that cheshbon of the first group of chachamim, that would carry on for your entire house if you're willing to close the house. Chavetz Chaim couldn't dream, how is a guy closing up his house? Where's he going? There were very few hotel programs in Radom, so he wasn't going anywhere. So he was staying home for Pesach. So, but whereas Bezman Hazeb, a fellow's leaving his house for Pesach, so he could theoretically turn his house into the room that's being sold to the non-Jew. But now, if he wants to follow Chavetz Chaim's advice, so he could do it even better. What can he do? Instead of not doing B'dikas Chometz the night that he leaves and calling it a day and saying, well, I'm selling the house anyway, what he should try to do is get the Chometz to be sold and the house to be rented before the real Chiyuv kicks in. Now, the real bona fide Chiyuv kicks in and Leil Yedalet, even though I'm leaving my house a week before, but the Leil Chiyuv really is on Leil Yedalet. So you should try to arrange a Mechivus Chometz. And again, I don't mean between you and the rabbi, I mean between the rabbi and the non-Jew. A Mechivus Chometz should be arranged that takes place on Yud Gimel. When on Yud Gimel? Find me for Shkia, as long as all our bosses didn't begin. So it's that one line of the Mishnah Berurah that has become very, very popular today. The many people avail themselves of this option when they sell the chametz to the non, they appoint the rabbi as the shaliach. So they ask the rabbi, please do me a favor, please sell my chametz and rent my house on Yud Gimel Nisan rather than on Yud Dalet Nisan. And by doing so, they have circumvented the entire mitzvah of the chametz. Again, this option only works for a person who's going to be away the entire week and no one's going to be in his house. So then he has this theoretical option to pull off. The mile of this option is that it works even according to those acharonim who were hesitant about doing it on Yud Dalet. If you do what's called Mechiv Yud Gimel, that's going to work. So many, many rabbanim over the last couple of years have picked up this Mechiv Yud Gimel option. It basically means more time, more work for the rabbi, because then the rabbi's got to go to visit the goy twice. He's got to go do a mechira on Yud Gimel, and then you have to do another mechira the next day for all the people who are staying home, because you don't want to do everyone's mechira on Yud Gimel. The guy's still eating chametz at night, so that's the last thing you want to do. So you have to never go back. You have to meet the goy twice in order to fulfill the Yud Gimel mechiras for the Yud Gimel people and Yadala mechiras for the Yadala people. So that's what many rabbanim have. That's what I have, two different envelopes. I have my Yud Gimel envelopes and my Yadala envelopes. One year I decided that instead of, on the document, so I always leave the document blank, and then I fill it out on the spot, whether you're a Yud Gimel or a Yud Dalet person. I figured, why do I have to waste my time filling it out? I'll print out 100 Yud Gimels, 100 Yud Dalets, and shine. And that was the only time I ever did that, because I realized that people, trust myself including, just couldn't read directions. It said, if you are selling Yud Gimel, please fill out this form. If you're selling Yud Dalet, Every other form had to be crossed out, had to be X'd, had to be initialed otherwise. So I figured, you know what, it's easier just to fill it in rather than fill it on the spot in ink. So
there's no bedikah at all.
Well, we're almost there. We're almost at the no bedikah. Maybe. We may change that for a minute, but we're almost at the no bedikah.
So they make two mechilas with Mr. Brown?
Yes. There's one mechila that takes place at usually about 7 o'clock, so right before Mincha on, this will be next Thursday afternoon. And then there's a regular mechira that takes place about 11 or so in the morning on Friday. That's the regular mechira. There are actually two mechiras that take place. Right? I can usually gauge in my shul how many people are going away. But basically, I know exactly what's happening because I just simply see how many mechiras I have. So I remember the early years of the shul. So a lot of people more people used to go away. There was a very, very young community. So most people would go away to their parents. So I remember I had like a 80 gimels and like 5 yadals. As the years go on, so the numbers have shifted back and the pendulum has switched a little bit. So this idea sounds like a great idea. Sounds like he circumvented everything. So some acharonim are still not happy with this idea. Why? Because they think the reason why it works is why it's not a good idea, because it circumvented everything. Namely, you just set up a situation that the bits for the Rabbanu B'dikas Chometz doesn't speak to you. You just created a scenario to exempt yourself from a mitzvah B'dikas Chometz. You're not supposed to do that. A goal in life is to run after mitzvahs, not to run away from mitzvahs. So the person ran away from the mitzvahs. It's like the guy who, on Yadalet Adar, he ends up in Yerushalayim, then Tesvav, he makes his way to Tel Aviv. So he theoretically, maybe according to some circumvent Purim. So you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to do as many mitzvahs as you can. So there's something wrong with this. Philosophically, halachically wrong with this kind of a setup. So some acharonim said that you're right. It's not something wrong with it. So what we should do is as follows. We should enable even those Yud Gimel people who want to get out of B'dikas Chometz to tell them they should do a very, very small B'dikas Chometz. Now, to do B'dikas Chometz, It doesn't make a difference whether you own a mansion with 500 rooms or you own a little shack. But Dikas Chametz says whatever Rishus belongs to you. If you have a house that's Rishus Chametz, doesn't matter how many rooms it has to it. That's your mitzvah Dikas Chametz. So what we recommend to do is as follows. You should rent, you should do Mechir Yad Gimel, and in the Mechir Yad Gimel we rent out all the rights to the Goyim, and you have no rights to the house starting from Yad Gimel at 7 o'clock. But we leave one room out of the Mechira, and we say, there's one small room that's going to remain mine. I'm going to be able to go to it if I would so desire on Pesach. I'm going to leave one room out, and I'm going to do B'digas Chometz on that one room before I leave. So I'm leaving a week before Pesach. I'm going to do B'digas Chometz Dafka on that room, but it says explicitly in the Shtar that I'm selling all my Chometz, renting all the entire house, with the exception of the following room. And that's the maila of that additional line in the shtar is that now you get the opportunity to chop around in the midst of Dikas Chometz, and you're not a harami, you're not someone who's tricky, you're not someone who's completely circumventing the law.
If you do a Mechiriyah
Gimel,
but you're not leaving
until
Friday morning.
Okay, yeah, okay, we're going to get to that last Nakuda. So this is the practice.
Without carving out that one area, that one room, then would you do
Then probably there's no bidik altogether, right? That's what Mishnah Berurah says. So that's when we leave out that one room. Now that one room doesn't have to be the kitchen. It doesn't have to be a disaster room. It could be a small room. So it can't be a room. The guy's going to say, I'm leaving the one room out, the attic that I haven't been in the last 20 years. That's no good, because you don't have to do bidikas chometz in the attic anyway. It's a makom she'ei machnis bechometz. So you have to leave a small bedroom, you leave a den, you leave an office, leave some area that has chometz in it. Sometimes, you do sometimes eat it. So a kid sometimes walking around with chometz in that part of the house. But it's a much easier room to check. To go check on the kitchen, save hours checking in the real Mechamash of Chris Mechamitz. So that's an eight. That's usually what we recommend people to do. And that way, when they do that B'tikas Chametz, it's usually done before Leil Yudala, so there wouldn't be a bracha on that. But in theory, it could be done on Leil Yudala in the following case. And this has become a much more common shadow now. Usually the Mechir Yad Gimel used to be for people who are going away. A guy's leaving, he's leaving his house 3-4 days, going to Tishra, he's going to Tel Tel, he's leaving a couple of days before. But very often, people are going away for the whole Pesach, but they're still around till their Pesach in the afternoon. They're not going that far. They're going to the other side of Route 4 to their parents. Not going to come back home the whole week, but they're going to be away. Well, the guy's going to a hotel, it's an hour drive away. So he doesn't want to leave. He doesn't want to pay an extra night in the hotel. So the hotel program doesn't start until the next day. So he wants to hang around his house on Thursday night, and he wants to hang around his house on Friday morning also. So then we have to scratch our heads and say, wait a second. You're hanging around your house in a house that was just rented out in its entirety to Mr. Brown. So that's not a chometz problem. That's a Dida Momenus problem. You're a goslin. I said, what do you mean? You moved into somebody? You just moved into his house. Go pay the guy, pay the non-Jew rent. So to make life easy for those kinds of people, we ask Mr. Brown beforehand, and he's always very, very kind, forthcoming, that is he okay if people get stuck a little bit? Sometimes the guy has to come back to his house to pick up the mail, he's got to pick up a change of clothes, got to get more diapers or something. So we have Mr. Brown, we know that this house legally belongs to you, but would you give us permission to come pop in for a little bit? He says, my pleasure, no problem, just don't stay too long. You know, he knows all his lines, but you can stay a little bit. So I used to be very weary with having people hang around in their apartments on Thursday night and then doing this Mechir Yad Gimel. You know, I thought it was like a little bit of a chuchas, a little bit of a joke, but Lamais, it's very hard for people. So those who want to do that, I think have a right to rely on that. And the mile of that is, if you end up doing that, then you can do a bedikah with the bracha. Because that one room, you're mamish b'chuyev, because it's really your room. It's a makom shechitz b'chametz. You can have your cake and eat it. You can have your chametz and eat it. Don't eat it, but you can have your chametz. You can do your bedikah's chametz on Leil Yudala. So a lot of things are swirling around to try to come up with different eitzes. So it's fascinating because this whole institution, this whole Mechir Yad Gimel is so new. It's something, as a kid, I don't remember Mechir Yad Gimel. I remember Mechir Yad Gimel started, I don't know, 30 years ago. I don't know who was the first person in America who actually put it into practice, but it has not been around all that long. But again, it has that added dimension. Again, some poskim like using it, other poskim don't, are not even curious it. Many rabbanim don't want to be involved, don't want to be bothered with Mechir Yad Gimel. But the truth is that most rabbanim have to do Mechir Yad Gimel anyway for other reasons. Because anyone who has chometz in Eretz Yisrael, by definition, has to do Mechir Yad Gimel. Because if you're going to rely, if you have an apartment in Eretz Yisrael, you better do Mechir Yad Gimel anyway on that chometz. Because if not, so then you could end up potentially violating by Rav Eimaltzeh, because it's Pesach starts before the Mechir is even done here. So therefore, you have to be very, very careful about that. If you have chometz any place that's further east, you have to make sure that you do a Mechir Yad Gimel anyway. Then it gets very, very tricky, because I'm doing Mechir Yad Gimel on my chometz in Eretz Yisrael, but my chometz in Tinek, I want to do Mechir Yad Dalet on, because I still want to eat it on Thursday night. The problem is that you write in the shtar, It says mechametz in the following places and any other place that I didn't even remember where it is. It's kolel everything. So now you have a real pickle. A guy writes a shtar yud gimel. So basically, he just sold off all his chametz, even the chametz sitting in Tinek. So what I usually do is when you have people like that, I have them actually write two different shtaras. And I'll make a note on the mechiv yud gimel saying that all chametz that's located in America is subject to a different document in a different pile. Same non-Jew, different pile. And ayin shom, and then the person has to initial all those addendums to the shtaros, or else they're not legally binding. So that's what we insist that they do. That they, I start making arrows, drawing lines, making swigglies, making all kinds of stories, and as long as everything is initialed at the end, so mikra din, it's all going to be binding. So you have to be careful about mechiv yud gimel. Ends up in today's world, very few rabbanim get away without doing some kind of mechiv yud gimel or sending the guy off to another mechiv yud gimel because so many people have apartments in Eretz Yisrael and so many people have all kinds of stuff. And there's a fellow Mashul who has an office in Hong Kong, so for sure you have to sell mechiv yud gimel. So a lot of these kinds of cases, you have to make sure to sell it properly. When we sell the chametz to the non-Jews, so we explain to them everything that's going on. It's a long megillah to explain to them everything. And we explain to them about, every year we do the same thing, we're doing the same non-Jew for 40 years. And he's turning 81 this year. We should have a Rechaz Yom Hashanah. So Mr. Brown's his name, in case you didn't catch it. So we explain to him every year the same Tizman about how there are Jews who are further east and there are Jews who are further west, and there's Chametz in here, and there's Chametz in there, and we're not sure there. And then we always give him the same line about, and there are some people who may own Chametz in Hawaii, and they may own Chametz in Japan, and they have a business in New Zealand. You have all these parts of the world that we're not even sure what day it is. So Mr. Brown is always very kind about that. He says, whatever the Jewish law decides, I'm on board, whatever it is. Whatever the rabbis say is good. The rabbis themselves aren't sure what the status is. Okay, it's also all right. Whatever the final word is, everything is sold, kedas chadin, kedas mashiv Yisrael. So that's pretty, and it always says, in the bottom of the document, it always says that it's sold according to the laws of the Torah and the laws of the state of New York, because the mechira takes place in New York. So we make it binding according to the state and the laws of the state of New York as well.
What if you're going away for Pesach, during Chol Hamoed, and you arrive in your apartment in Israel, or you were away and you come home?
So if you should have taken care of everything, it means somebody, if you're planning, let's say, of going to Eretz Yisrael for Yontif, so let's say you're going to go there Chol Hamoed, so then someone has to do B'dikas Chametz before you get there, or worst case scenario, you have to B'dikas Chametz when you arrive.
You can do it on
Pesach itself. I wouldn't put out 10 pieces of bread, but you can do you can do B'dikas Chametz. You're mamish stuck, you can do B'dikas Chametz on Pesach itself, yeah. Okay. Anyway, so again, we just try to give some of the Rashi Pracham. It gets a little intricate, but we try to get some of the Rashi Pracham in the home and away shams.
Your description strengthens a suspicion or a discomfort I have with B'dikas Chametz. I've always wondered, the goy, if you go to the same guy year after year, he knows that, yeah, you're selling him the Chametz, and then you're going to buy it back, and then the second year you did that. Does he take it seriously?
So it depends with the goy. Yeah, so this particular non-Jew has been, he takes it very, very seriously.
But the way you describe it is, you know, he's willing to do anything.
But it's binding legally. There's no question that legally, if we would have to get this contract enforced in court, it would absolutely be enforced in court. It's been reviewed by lawyers multiple times.
Halacha
is for sure binding. For sure. If I sign a document, even though I may have didn't think it's a joke, but if I signed a document on something, so it's like I rent the car, so nobody bothers reading all the fine print. And Chalila, something, you get into an accident, and you go explain to her, it's no, I thought it was a big joke. No big joke. You put your sign in there. So that's all that matters in law, is that if you put your signature on the piece of paper, the shtaros of mechiras chametz have been reviewed by one of the Supreme Court justices also of America to make sure that they were up to par, and they passed the test in the Supreme Court also. So the documents are very, very serious. They're really, really binding, kedas uchadin, both halachically as well as legally. The fact that we do the same thing every year, okay, so we're allowed to make crazy kinyanim every year also, but lamaisa, they all are binding legally.
If I understood you, so the mechiras gimel is an innovation, and excluding is a room.
It's like an innovation on the innovation. Yeah, I can't tell exactly who thought of this idea.
I'm on the impression that before the innovation, according to the major poskim, like Chavra Ramor, in a plain vanilla sale, I have a house, I'm selling it to a goy. Well, you know what? No innovation. I'm selling my house to a goy 10 days before Pesach, right? And I'm moving away. That I would still be mechuyev b'dika unless I'm going to have an opportunity to to be boiled in the new house that I'm buying.
Right, that's another shot, right, right. Maybe
so
I could, maybe.
I'm going to, whatever, if I'm going to my kids for yom kippur. Right. The old days used to go to your parents, now kids. So then
but the problem is that what it may not work because it's not my house. I'm just a guest in their house.
I'm saying so.
Right, so it may not work.
I'm going to the kids. I have no
right. So it could be that in the olden days, people would just do what I think honestly happened in the olden days. A person went over Pesach. They did what they come before they left. Like it says in Shulchan Aruch. It says in Gemara. Right. Right. People got lazier. Right. People got lazier.
It becomes important then for this person. If you're saying, should he exclude a room? Shouldn't he exclude a room?
Yeah. I don't want people to miss my room. That's the only thing. Some people hold me from my room. Yeah, anyway, but. Very good. Okay. I think this is the last year before Pesach. I don't think next Wednesday night I read my wife already. I already told her that we're not having a shiur. Whether you're going to be home or away, there's no shiur next Wednesday.
Okay. So, shut it off.
Yeah,